विष्णु पदाय कृष्णा प्रस्ताय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नित्यनामिने प्लीज जॉइन मी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी पचारिणे Yeah. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare
Jaya Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan,
Giri Govardhan, Giri
Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Te Radhe. Madan Mohan, Madan Mohan, Te Radhe. Everything you look for lies inside. Happiness, eternity, soul, Krishna. If you keep on looking outside, you might totally miss it all. Hare Krishna. And with these words, I want to welcome you for this Sangamela festival, where we will try to go with good inspirations and spiritual strengths from 2025 into 2026. Welcome all of you, whether you came from nearby or from far away. I greatly appreciate, in fact, I was looking forward to see you, because from our last Sangamela festivals, we could see that a particularly perhaps personal or confidential atmosphere is created that is pregnant, deeply pregnant with inspirations. So I can't imagine with all of you that it will be any different this year. But perhaps in the first session, it is called Welcoming Change, this presentation, I would love to tune you a little bit in how you can make the best use of this retreat, where you will be discovering the treasures that lie hidden inside, the treasures which we look for in our lives, wrongly looking outside. So I wish to give you a few thoughts or guidelines in this first session. I think by now we all know we are very, very busy with our lives. There's more information coming to each person in this time. You know, you have your distraction machines day and night on, the mobile telephones, which bring you in contact with an sometimes overload of informations, of which some of them are really not necessary for your growth. I can see for my life, I thought when I become an old man, which I have become, my life will become more peaceful, more plannable, more. But exactly the opposite is happening, and I like it. There's a flow which has started, a flow that started in Vrindavan that carries me since some years forward. But I also know what you know. Oh, will we make it in time, or so much stress, or then I need to phone to Persia and Vancouver, best is at the same time with just two telephones because the time is so so planned out. And I think we all have to be careful whether we are working or we are preaching, whether we are grihastas or sannyasis. We have to be careful that we don't burn out in the process of running and running and running. Going on retreat can create a space in which new inspirations, new thoughts can happen. A space which we can then take out of the time of our retreat into our life. And although externally we may still be busy, but we are busy in a blissful consciousness because we are rooted in deep spiritual understandings. I always think 2026 will bring many changes. Some of them will be extremely pleasant, and some of them might be difficult. It's an astrological constellation. Vedic astrology informs us that that will be the year which will bring out all the things that were staying under the surface in our life, which we where we didn't want to look, but they will come out and look right into our face. And the same will happen for planet Earth. There will be some things which will come on the surface, some of them very good, and some of them will require us to have deep roots so that we are not, agitated and overwhelmed by these forceful changes. So on this retreat, we stop what we are doing usually, and we try to connect with that little voice, our inner calling, our higher aspirations, and this thing, stop, pause, and going and finding our higher natures, our higher inspirations, will help us so that something new can grow. My dear devotees, to think new things will come into your life, or the life which you are wanting to build for yourself, will happen if you keep on doing the same thing, is like expecting a beautiful peacock to be born from a donkey. If you keep on doing the same things, no beautiful peacock will come, no beautiful life will come, nothing new will come. If you plant the same seeds which you have kept on planting, and there was no mango seeds amongst them, there will be no mango tree. You have to learn to first pause, and then have spiritual activities and a spiritual sangha, which you put into this new space that is created in this pause, no? And have the new seeds come into the fertile ground of your heart, and then something can grow. My dear devotees, for this I want to recommend you something so crucial. Try to avoid the normal things you do. Try to avoid the normal moods and thoughts which you have. Try to avoid the normal distractions which you have, and focus on your spiritual programs. In our last retreat, Pandavasena, it was really an amazing project. So many good new thoughts and ideas came out of there. We had one participant who said to me, nothing much has happened, except perhaps doing the multidimensional show of Vrindavan. We will have that multidimensional show also here. I said, really? What did you do in this retreat? Well, I finished my reading of my novel. I'm already 20. I was already trying to finish this novel since 2 weeks, but here on this retreat, I made my determined vow, I will finish my novel, Roman, sagt man in Deutsch. Oh, that's interesting. Did you take part in the spiritual programs then? No, I had to read day and night almost. He had only changed his location. He had only changed his reading sofa. He had not changed the content of what came into his awareness. And therefore, I want to request you, don't just change your location. Anyways, this location is not ideal for relaxing. There is so many people in your bathrooms at the same times. In your rooms, you most probably have two other, sometimes unknown guests there. It's not so hospitable, so inviting outside. It's quite cold. It's cooler, warmer than in Berlin. I'm very happy here. Try to really take full advantage of the Spurter programs, and perhaps even equally as important, the good discussions which you can have with perhaps people who you get to know new. Ask them for their stories, their lives, their insights. How did they get into Krishna consciousness, and so on? Form a community of those who seek divine blessings and divine interventions in their lives. And then I can guarantee you something important will happen. My dear everyone, we all need to change. Once I gave a seminar, I said, who wants change in their lives? Everyone went on up like this. Then I said, second question, who wants to change? What? I have to change if I want to have a change in my life? I have to do the work? Ooh-hoo. Ooh, comfort zone. My dear devotees, my dear friends, my dear skeptics, if you don't change, you will be forced to change, especially in the coming year, 2026. You will see. I'm not saying some esoteric thing is really there. If you don't know what you wish to do, others will tell you, sometimes force you, to do what they think is best for you. Yes? So, I know in my life that I have understood in this life everything is changing. But still I have seen that I resist change. A little while ago, the people who rent out Gaura Bhavan to us, it was one firm or society, wrote us a letter. You have to get out of your comfortable Gaura Bhavan. We want to sell it. I ignored it. I'm busy to travel. So just when I came back from Vrindavan, the postman came and delivered a letter. Now you have to get out. We will start selling Gaura Bhavan from the 1st of January on. Thought, oh, my ashram, so nice at the lake and everyone. We are so comfortable. But then I remembered, let us welcome change. There is a hidden gift in the change. But for that, one has to train a little bit. My dear devotees, in autumn the leaves fall to the ground. In winter everything is covered by snow, different. And it's cold. The climate has changed. In spring flowers emerge through the snow. And nature dresses in a very, very beautiful dress, as if she is a woman who goes to her marriage. Again, a change. In summer, the fruits start to ripen. And then once again, autumn arrives and the trees fall to the ground, announcing that soon winter is coming. Change is natural. We see it everywhere. We see it in relationships. We see it in states of mind. Some of you go through 5 mood swings a day. Nothing remains ever the same. Each phase prepares the ground for the next change. Our bodies are constantly changing. Do you know that from the time where I started to speak to now, some 50 billion cells have died and others have grown? Yeah, this is constantly changing. Telling me, Sachinanda Swami, change is natural. So this is the unavoidable rhythm of life, but most of us resist change. My first reaction when the first letter came is, this is a sacred place now, you can't just sell it. I didn't want to change. The second time it came, I felt, it's now winter time and it's so cozy and the heating works here. I didn't want to change. But what is there which doesn't want to change? What in us is it that resists the natural flow of nature? What in us dreads, fears, is afraid of change? Sometimes we wish to have change, but when it comes to us in a way that we didn't order, I want it like this, like this, like this, we resist. What is it? My dear everyone, it's the ego. The ego likes security. The ego wants to dream the dream of control. And it is the ego which resists change. But if you resist change, you will be forced to accept it at the latest, at the moment of death. I have seen many, many of you in your spiritual life stagnating, stopping, not moving forward, not coming to the next level, because there is this resistor, this person who, this thing which is afraid. But you will be forced to accept it. I've brought to you my role model of change. We also have it on the there. It's the lobster. In Deutsch, der Hummer. The lobster is perhaps the wisest teacher of change I can imagine. I got to know him in Mauritius. We had arranged a big, big Kirtan Mela where, I mean, many people, thousands of people attended. It was really an event that was celebrated on the island of Mauritius. And after this, Madhava, who is having a home in Mauritius, invited me to go snorkeling in the ocean. I don't know, Gaurahari, were you with me in Mauritius?
Yes.
But you most probably didn't go snorkeling, or?
I came also.
You also came. Oh, revolution. And I remember I had the glasses and the snorkel, and I swam in this nature-protected part of the ocean. There are such nature-protected parts. And I looked down on the ground. There were so many fishes. They all thought it's a new type of fish, the Sachinandan fish. You know, they didn't know my name. My species also was not really classified by them. And they came very close and checked us out. There were beautiful plants which moved with the waves. And at one time I suddenly saw a little cave, and there was someone who looked like this inside, a lobster. There was also a second lobster who had just shed his hard shell and was just a white mass, you know. From time to time, I learned later, a lobster outgrows its hard shell. What once protected him now feels tight and restrictive. The lobster doesn't fight the process. It molds. Molds means it sheds its hard skin. It breaks it actually open and then gets rid of it, like you would get rid of your pullover when it's too warm. And it then grows a new hard shell. In that period, when the lobster changes, it's extremely vulnerable, and therefore it needs to go on retreat into a cave, a safe and quiet place where it can grow into its next or more expanded version of itself. This is exactly what we have to all do. We all have this hard ego with us that binds us to something that is not our shell, our physical body and our mind. And from time to time, as our inner growth naturally happens, as our spiritual growth happens, my dear everyone, we do need to step away from the daily noise of our thought traffic, and we need to grow into the new version that is more in harmony with our desires, our spiritual aspirations, our insights. I cannot promise that this retreat will provide a cave with you, for you, because we are many, and I think two in one cave is still all right. But if you have 100 or 250 or whoever, whatever is our number here, it is not so easy. But what I can promise, my dear devotees, my dear friends and my dear skeptics, if you open your receptive channels, some of you, if I look in you, and you will have to learn to not believe their minds all the time. Oh, that's also a shell, old thinking. If you open your receptive channels, my dear devotees, my dear friends, my dear guests, Krishna will give you the right impulses. These are the fruits of our Sangamela: impulses, insights, desires that you then can live by and cultivate outside the retreat time. In much the same way as a lobster needs to withdraw and then go into transformation, we as human beings need to learn from the wise teacher of transformation to grow beyond our limiting habits, you know, what we do all the time, you know, your fixed opinions, the familiar patterns. Perhaps they have once protected you, but now they may very well restrict your growth. Sangha Mela invites you, welcome, but the motto this time is more than a welcome. It has a second word to it. Welcome change. And that is possible when you don't resist the change any longer. I will ask you in a moment a question, but for now I would like to chant a verse with you from the Katha Upanishad, which gives us a tool that helps us to navigate change. Is it there? Yes. Should we have a little music for this?
Yeah.
Good. It's C sharp, if you want to know. Shreyascha preyascha manushya metta. Shreyascha preyascha manushya metta. Sto samparitya vivinakti dira. Sto samparitya vivinakti dira. Shreyo hidiro viprayeso vinite.
Shreyo hidiro viprayeso vinite.
Preyo mando yogashemat vinite. This was good for preparing. Now it's good, these texts, my dear everyone, in Sanskrit will open more and more and more as you become more receptive to them. I will read to you now the English translation and then we will chant it again. Every soul has the opinion of Every soul has the option of accepting either the path of the senses that give immediate gratification or the path of spiritual well-being, which is considered to be the ultimate good. So there's prayas, something which immediately feels good, and there is prayas that is ultimately good. The wise, after carefully weighing these two options, accept the path of spiritual well-being, whereas the deluded conditioned souls prefer the path of quick sense enjoyment. I would like to make it very simple. You can either be in the small mind and just try to get squeeze as much as possible pleasure from, or you can enter the big mind where you where you are not restricted by anything, but you are just in Krishna consciousness, we say. Why is it so difficult for us to act on our knowledge? We know we should not eat too much in the evening. But Pashalam will certainly come. We know we should not speak badly about others and not gossip about them. But it's so interesting. We know we should not amuse ourselves to death or excessively. Ah, it feels so good in the moment. In my little slideshow, I would like to give you three keys that will help you, hopefully, to make the long-desired breakthrough and come to that vast mind. In the first, that is tomorrow lecture, we will deal with from the small mind to the big mind. How we can be in contact with Krishna and not lose ourselves in the labyrinth of material things. Then the second, I will give you an understanding how daily spiritual practices that is tailored to your nature can shape your life, because you become what you practice, no? Do you know why our Jai Gopal can play such nice madanga? He has practiced many, many, many years. I know he first was, when I first met him, he used his hands to break wood. He was a karate expert in karate, no? I heard once when you were angry, you were killing a door. In other words, beating right through the door. That is not so good for spiritual development, perhaps. So Jai Gopal decided to learn Madanga, and I think it was a hard training under Babalut, no? Many years. I heard the Madanga players of old had to put their hands into hot sand that was heated on the wat. You know, wat means, you know, walks, you know, in a pot. They had to jump out of bed whenever their teacher said, "I teach you a new beat, come." And don't worry, what I will tell you will have no similarities with these things, but it is necessary for us to learn a practice in our life that will shape us. And the third program, we will talk about how you might be able to stay inspired and making growth sustainable and joyful. And also, my dear devotees, I want to say, be open. Krishna can come to you in forms that you don't expect him to come. Once Prahlad Maharaj, the great devotee, had great, great desires to find Krishna. He was now an elderly emperor. He ruled a huge empire, but he always remembered his time when he was a little boy, where the Lord had appeared to him. From where had he appeared to him? Huh? A pillar, a very unexpected place, no? I think we generally don't expect Krishna to come out of a pillar. Maybe he will come out for you. So he always remembered that. And one day, with great longing in his heart, he went to the place where saints go in order to find Krishna. He went into the forest. Remember when Dhruva Maharaj asked his mother, Suniti, where can I find Krishna? She said, I don't know. any other place than the forest, because that's where the great saints go to find him. So Prahlad Maharaj, just like Dhruva, had gone into the forest where he met an amazing personality. He was dressed, he had knotted hair. How do you call this? Jatas? No? Rastaman vibration, yeah. How do you call this?
Dreadlocks.
Dreadlocks, yes. He had a dress this color, yellow. He had Rudraksha beads. Oh no, I don't know Rudraksha. He had some sort of beads in his hand. And in his hand he had a sword, and in the other hand he had a bow. "You are a bogus sannyasi," said Prahlad Maharaj. "Usual sannyasis don't have swords and bows and arrows." The sannyasi said, "Who are you to address me? I'm the emperor of this land, and I have to take care that the Dharma is upheld here." "Well," said the sannyasi, "you are weak." So Prahlad was also a Kshatriya, so he took out his weapons and said, let the weapons speak. So they were fighting the whole day. And Prahlad, who was by that time so able and skilled in the martial arts, was not able to gain an upper hand over that yellow-dressed sannyasi. In the morning, he went to his morning program. He worshipped a little form of the Lord with incense. And he was just about to finish his puja when this yellow-dressed sannyasi with his weapons came out of the forest, looking at him with a smile. Prahlad said, I'm just now coming. Just wait, I have to finish my puja. So he took his garland and put it around his deity, and immediately the garland disappeared. Not like this, it totally disappeared. And as he looked to the sannyasi who was smiling, the sannyasi turned into a beautiful form, dressed in a yellow dhoti, with a beautiful smile where the lips opened only a little and his white teeth were shining like kunda flowers. The whole sky was lit by the effulgence of his smile. And his eyes were moving a little, shifting, but he would always, they were like bumblebees which encircled Prahlad with loving glances. Prahlad said, "You are the person I was looking for. I didn't recognize you because of your dress." And he paid his obeisances. This is a beautiful narration that comes in the first part of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in the purport. Sanatana Goswami says this. And it makes the point, my dear devotees, sometimes Krishna doesn't, or the solution to your life doesn't come in words. Sometimes Krishna manifests in unexpected ways. Who knows an example where Krishna came to a great devotee who had just completed his Govardhan Parikrama? I'm sorry, I think I heard a whisper. Madhavendra Puri, Hari Vyasadev. Madhavendra Puri was in ecstasy of love of Godhead. And he had not done what usual monks do, that is to go on Madhukari, collect his alms and his food. He just sat down and totally moved by the waves of love. He was standing. And then he saw a beautiful young Brijbasi boy. He had, you know, he carried his blanket over his head and had just fixed it a little like this. Came to him and said, "Hey, Baba, you are not collecting your food. Therefore, I have come to bring you milk. You can sustain on milk when yourself when you are practiced like this." Madhavendra Puri had a good. He said, "Thank you, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna," and continued. Then in the evening, he took that milk. Wow! That milk was the sweetest, most nourishing food he had ever seen. But as he was drinking it, waves of ecstasy came to him. And he thought, who brought this pot of milk? It's more like a glass of milk. And he remembered the beautiful face of the boy and then thought, oh no, it was Krishna who had come in disguise. Fortunately, that same boy appeared in the night in the dream and said, "Madhavendra Puri, I'm lying here under the earth and I'm very, very hungry. Tomorrow, collect some Brijbasis and dig me out of the earth and install me in the temple and feed me." And Madhavendra Puri, in the next morning, it was still dark, said, that Krishna came to me. It was Krishna. And Krishna now has called me to come closer. So he took some Brijbasis with him. They dug at the designated spot, which in the dream was told by Krishna, and they found this beautiful deity of Gopal. This deity is very important for us because Gopal has asked his priests to make a window in the temple at a place which is normal, not there, so that he can look on the land where the Govardhan retreat center is. How this came, you will hear in one of the Krishna Kathas. Surprise. So yes, Krishna can come in unexpected ways. Sometimes he might reveal himself in a discussion with a devotee where you all of a sudden feel, I didn't expect this perspective, but it speaks now to me and I'm going to do it. So I want to ask you now to discuss something with your neighbor. This is very important. I know some of you are introverted, others have blocked personalities and might require therapy. You know, I don't see anyone here, but I'm just saying I do have an audience with many shades of mental states and so on, as it is normal. So please don't feel shy to turn to your neighbor. I will ask you to discuss a question which I think is good if you look at the beginning of the retreat. So first find a neighbor next to you, just two by two. If you can also go three with three people. And I will go with Ananda Chaitanya. Ananda Chaitanya is my partner. Ananda Chaitanya, please, if you are here, come. Is still, yes. Don't be afraid, Ananda Chaitanya. Nothing will happen to you. Please come here. because Ananda Chaitanya is now often in Russia. I want to see him from close. So, find a neighbor. Have you found a neighbor?
Yes.
Radha Kripa, who is your neighbor? Jai Gopal. Same neighbor for 20 years. No problem. Srinivas, who's your neighbor? Good. Is neighbor? Have you all found a neighbor? Who has not found a neighbor? Please raise your... Jai Gopal... No, Gokrishna? You have. Now listen very carefully. Discuss with your neighbor. What is the one change that your soul is calling for, but your ego is resisting because it feels comfortable where it is and fears losing control? I will repeat the question. It's a little, you can look with me. We have put it on for you to see. Should I say it again? Let's read it again. What is the one change that your soul is calling for, but your ego is resisting? No. Because it feels comfortable where it is and fears losing control. What is that one change? My dear devotees, if you explore this question, you will find amazing answers. Please, is the question clear to you?
Yes.
Oh, Swami, you are also here. Hare Krishna. Fabi is also here? Oh, yeah. Right. Ada, Hare Krishna. So, please turn to your neighbor and discuss about this, not about what might happen at Prasadam this evening. Start now. So, just wanted to warm up the discussion. Also, in our little group which we had with Ananda Chaitanya, we really saw when you ask the right type of questions, it seems, or engage in the right type of thoughts, it seems the Krishna perceives it, he notices it, and then he responds. I'm reminded of a poem which says, all those precious talks that you and me have had have found their way into the heart of the Lord. And one day these talks will come back to us as whispering rains that will help you and me to grow. Oh, beautiful poetry. So just engaging with the subject of trying to see how we can break on through to the Shreyas side of things, the ultimate truths in our lives. Just engaging with this, Krishna will listen and he will respond to us and according to the Yeya Tamang Prapatyante principle. So, summary. Change will come. If you resist it, it's painful. If you learn to welcome it, it's very, very good. Do you remember our wise teacher of change? Yes, we have a photo of him, biological photo. Those of you who are small, we have sometimes children. I took this here. This is for Ritvik and the little girl here. More friendly. The wise lobster needs to grow out of his shell, because what once protected him now restricts him, narrows him, pressures him. And I think you all have heard the call. The call is always for Shreyas, the ultimate good, as opposed the long or long-term good, as opposed to the immediate pleasurable. So we will have a part where we learn to welcome discomfort, to come to lasting comfort. We will deal with that also. And yes, in the lectures we will give you three powerful keys how to grow from the small to the big mind, how to learn to improve our practice and make that tailored to our nature, and not one shoe fits all. And finally, how we can stay inspired on the path. In the evening, there will be a lot of Krishna Katha, and I have one very nice Katha based on Gopal Champu. Extraordinary. And other things, and there will be throughout the day. Oh my God, I'm coming into what I should not do. It is Gaurahari's duty. He is our master of ceremonies. He will tell you what it is. Let us just complete this session by singing a little bit. Let me see the same melody. No? Sit straight. You might like to do what is known in the tradition as mana sangharana. Collect your mind. Bring it from the brain part, where there is so much thought traffic, into your heart. Huh? Draw the mind down into the heart, where devotion, gratitude and such spiritually advantageous feelings reside. And sing with me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Before we start singing, please all turn in the direction of Radha Madan Mohan. They will stay with us for perhaps one more minute only, no? One more minute. Enough that we can all say goodbye to them for today. Perhaps ask them for their blessings, that you can be fully present. Please start singing now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. possible. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare. Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna
Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Jaya Prabhupada